Gee, agus fáilte ar ais. You're all very welcome to another episode of Irish in Toronto. We have a more unusual episode for you today. I'll be chatting with Poppy Ludlow from Wicklow, who has been living in Canada for the past 5 years, spending her first 2 years in St. John's, Newfoundland, and the past 3 years in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Poppy and myself arrived in St. John's in the same month, actually, August 2019. However, she remained a fictional character to me. Our mutual friend Axel from France did her best to introduce us, but it was not to be, as Poppy had other ideas about hanging out with Irish people at that time. Through another mutual friend, Alex Daw from St. John's, we were finally able to meet each other last summer on a camping trip in Cape Breton, where I made Poppy promise she would do the podcast as her penance for ignoring me in Newfoundland all those years ago. Poppy is obviously not living in Toronto, but this conversation is flush with references to being Irish in a different part of the world, and Poppy has some unique insights into what it means to be Irish on the east coast of Canada. I would still encourage people to download the episodes and to share them with friends and family. Downloads are the easiest indicator for me to gauge how many people I'm reaching with these conversations, so I'd really appreciate it. I started our chat by asking Poppy about when she first came to St. John's.
August of 2019, which I think was similar when you
it's
remember.
The exact same month that I came to Canada.
Yeah, same month, which is really funny, actually. And I landed into St. John's in Newfoundland, and I knew, very little about the place, but I had done some kind of Googling, as you usually do when you're going to, almost like when you're going to visit somewhere.
Yeah.
You do a Google to see what it looks like, and I was like, yeah, that looks fine. But I moved there to do my master's. So I kind of knew what I'd be studying, and I was just kind of mainly geared up to, get that done and get it on the go. And I knew that I was going to like it there because I suppose I knew that there was a lot of hiking and, like, the sea views are amazing. There's, like, cliff hikes and, like, it looked really rough and rugged and not, like, a huge city, which is something that I really like. Like, I would never be able to live in Toronto. I would die. I would absolutely die.
First sentence in the Irish in Toronto podcast.
Yeah, I know,
I
right?
Live in Toronto.
I know. I'll visit Toronto.
Yeah.
And I loved Newfoundland. As soon as I got there, I loved it. I felt like I fit right in. They say it's the most Irish place outside of Ireland, and I believe it.
Yeah.
You probably know that too.
Yeah.
And then I didn't leave Newfoundland for. I didn't see anywhere else in Canada for 2 years until I moved to Halifax. That was the first time I went outside of...
Because of COVID, mainly.
Yeah, I went back to Ireland once during that time, but I didn't go anywhere else in Canada.
Did you plan to go to other places in Canada while you were there?
I did. Well, actually, that is a lie. I did go... I stayed in the province, but I went to Labrador.
Oh, yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, which is as far away from St. John's as Ireland is to...
Yeah.
Germany, maybe? Like,
yeah.
It's that far, like,
it is far, and like the... Yeah, I flew into Lab City to see my friend who was moving back to St. John's. She said, do you want to come up and help me move back and we can do a road trip? And I was like, yeah, that sounds amazing. And I get to see the whole of the province then.
So you drove back from Lab City?
From Lab City, yeah. Went through Cartwright in Labrador. But we drove the whole way across the Labrador Highway.
How long does it take to get from Labrador City to St. John's?
Oh, God, it's like... Oh, to St. John's? We broke it up.
Yeah.
And to Cartwright, I think the highway itself took almost 8 hours. There's 6 hours or something, 6 or 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But you've no signal for the whole time.
Yeah.
So in Lab City, I spent a few days there helping my friend pack up her car and walking around the place. It was bizarre, like a mining town.
Yeah.
Really, nothing I'd ever seen, really dusty and bizarre. And we packed up the car and then we had to get a satellite phone in Lab City because we weren't going to have signal for... that long. And like if something were to happen on the highway, there's so few cars driving that like you could be stuck there for hours. So you wouldn't see, we maybe saw 2 or 3 cars for the whole drive.
That's insane.
So you'd be stuck and there's no towns. Like it's between that and Goose Bay, I think it's the next town. And then we drove down to Cartwright, down to the ferry. I think it is the ferry terminal. And then to Deer Lake, and then stayed in Deer Lake for a few days before I went back to St. John's.
It's East Coast trip, isn't it?
Yeah. And the whole time I was on the clock for my master's. I think I only took a few days off, and then I had my laptop with me, and I'd like kind of panically do a bit of work. But
You like St. John's became your you had that home for 2 years, and you became an East Coast girl, like as you got yourself to be.
I am East Coast girl.
You're wearing a hat indoors now, which is, it's a Toronto thing as well. It's kind of an East Coast girl thing.
I know
as well.
I found even walking around yesterday, I was wearing Blundstones and wearing my cowboy boots today, but and I felt very East Coast. Like with the hat on, I feel like I stuck out. I barely saw anyone in Blundstones, and I was like, oh my god,
no, they are a thing here,
but people wear mostly sneakers here.
Yeah, they're a thing. Bluntstones are a thing if the weather is.
Yeah. Maybe it's because we're in spring now.
Maybe. But,
like, people are wearing them every day and over, like, even in the summer, you'd be wearing them.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely a look.
Yeah. And I've definitely fallen into that look, for sure. Because it's kind of just easy.
You went to St. John's. You said it's the most Irish place outside of Ireland, and that's what they say, and I would agree with you as well. Why did you ignore me the whole time you were in St. John's?
I was wondering if you were going to ask Irish me this.
Person there, as well as you. There was no one else there.
I know.
Roughly our age group. And you knew that there was an Irish person teaching Irish.
I did.
And you intentionally went out of your way to not engage with that community.
I wouldn't say intentionally. I had every plan to. I think the first few times I heard kind of vaguely about you, and there was a group of people putting on your, like, there was parties or whatever going on, and I had our mutual friend Axel was saying, you gotta come meet him. And I think when someone I think it's a me thing, when someone is like so invested in me meeting someone else and I haven't decided to do it myself, I then like I need to make it happen on my own terms. You know what I mean? And so I remember when Axel was like, you have to come to the party, and I think I wasn't really in a party mood that time. I was, really, like, full on trying to get my master's stuff done. I was very stressed. And, I don't think I wanted to. I was in a bit of a bubble at that stage. And also, I was pretty fresh off the boat from Ireland.
Yeah.
And I think in my mind, I had, like, I think I had moved from Ireland. And the idea of, like, then being thrown back into, like, a potentially an Irish community was kind of like, well, fuck, I didn't come here for that. You know what I mean? It was like a funny attitude. I know I have. I think it's another reason why, I think I talked to you about this before, why I didn't necessarily want to move to Toronto, because I knew a lot of people here, a good few people here, and I knew there was a really strong Irish community. But what I really liked about Newfoundland is I liked that I didn't know anybody there. I didn't want to know anyone when I arrived there. I wanted to, like, really go out on a limb, be completely, basically, independent from everything back home, because I have a real, I don't know what you'd call it, but I'm fiercely independent person, almost to my own, almost, to a fault, and sometimes it kind of, I see myself setting myself back, because I want to be independent of everything, and I think that's what it was. I was like, oh, fine, I was just in Ireland, I don't need to meet another Irish guy.
That's fair enough, I kind of half understood that, I think. I just remember, I'm a bit different. Like, I wanted to move to Canada, and I was already in America. I wanted to go to Canada. I definitely wanted to live outside of Ireland, but I still wanted to have an Irish community. And St. John's didn't have that, even though it is the most Irish place. There's very little Irish born people there now. Like, there were so many.
I met two guys from Ireland.
There. What are their names? Probably know them.
Simon makes carved spoons.
Oh yeah.
And Sean, who's in a band. But yeah, he's a musician, lovely guy, hilarious guy.
Yeah.
He'll be the first one to make fun of me for my aversion to hanging out with Irish people. No.
No, it's like I met a woman joined our, like, Irish speaking. We were doing these, like, walks for the Conrad and Glasgow here in the summer. And she came, and she's, like, fluent Irish speaker, like, native speaker. And she's been here a good few years, like, she's a citizen. And the more we got to know each other, she basically said, I basically moved here intentionally trying to not make Irish friends.
Yeah.
But I'm here so long now, I kind of feel like it's okay to come back.
That's the thing, right? Yeah. I think that's kind of what I was feeling. And it's a weird thing, because I've explained this to other people, and I almost fear explaining it because it sounds like I don't like Irish people or Ireland. And I'm like trying to totally...
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not. I'm not trying to totally get away with it. I think it's just like a... When you have the reasons why you left Ireland, you almost don't want to immediately then, like, run into an Irish community outside of Ireland, who also, I think, in a weird way, it makes you feel less original. Like, all other people have the same idea as you, and you're, like, doing the same thing again. Yeah, it is a funny one. And also, I think I don't speak Irish. I can understand some of it, and I can speak a little bit, but it's always a bit of a... I kind of am, like, embarrassed that I don't speak Irish. You know, that kind of way.
Yeah,
I mean, and I remember I heard that you're doing, I knew that you spoke Irish, and I was like, oh God, I'm just going to turn up and I'm going to be the least Irish person there, do you know?
Isn't that sad that you thought
I know!
Yeah, even though no one would have
Yeah.
In any company, that's always the case, your internal voices.
Oh, yeah, totally, yeah.
Did you have a little bit of a, like, an image in your mind of me as well that you probably didn't like about Ireland? Kind of like a fellow who maybe plays hurling?
No, I don't think so. I think maybe for, like, a split second, but I don't... No, definitely not.
Okay.
Because, yeah, there's definitely those, like... You know, you call them ga heads. That's what we would have called you anyway.
Yeah.
Back home. And like, I fucking knows. My friends are ga heads. My brother's a ga head, you know.
Yeah.
But that's what they were referred to as. And not in a negative way. It was more just like they had like their own like bubble.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes that bubble was impenetrable. If you weren't a ga head, you were kind of...
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm a... how would you say... Technically a Protestant. So I wasn't actually brought up in like a very...
Technically a Protestant.
Baptized Protestant. Non-practicing Protestant. I don't know what
I'm technically a Catholic.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, like the school I went to, it was all about rugby or hockey. So, and I tried playing Gaelic football for a spell. But I started late. And I think when you start late and you're not immediately good at it, it was...
Yeah. Everyone else is going to be better.
Yeah, they were like, and I was, you know, playing with my age group, but they were all like flying around the place, and I was trying to keep up. And I was like, nah, actually, I prefer having a stick in my hand playing hockey. Yeah,
that's fair enough.
Yeah.
I remember, and this shows my own judgment, when Axel, and I'll have explained who Axel is in the introduction, but when she said to me, there's another Irish person here as well,
yeah,
you know, roughly the same age or whatever, she's doing a master's. And I thought, okay. And then, like, there was multiple events you didn't show up to, and I was like, you sure? Like, I thought you were fictional. And
yeah, she said that. He was like, he thinks you're not real.
Yeah, like, and Axel said to me, you know, her name is... So I got this feeling, okay, she's not coming to the events. She's not interested.
Yeah.
Fair enough. And then Axel said, you know, your name is Poppy.
Mm.
And immediately I said, she's Protestant. Straight away, I said, she must be Protestant. There's
yeah.
some sort of a relation there to, like, the Battle of the Somme or something.
Yeah.
Her parents have relatives who fought in that.
Oh, it's definitely not that.
I know. Now I know that.
Hippies,
isn't it funny,
that's
my own judgment that you're
yeah,
actually
yeah.
just a hippie.
I know, yeah, yeah. Literally, yeah. That,
yeah.
That's exactly what it is. But yeah, that's a... Sometimes I do, because sometimes people, yeah, they hear my name and they think, are you English? And I'm like, oh, Jesus, absolutely not.
Yeah.
No, I just have hippie parents that want to name all their children after, like, things that they could find in the garden.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so you're in Canada since 2019, same length of time as
me.
How did you end up in Halifax?
When I landed in St. John's, I liked it, but I had a feeling, I almost had, like, I knew I'd be leaving after 2 years when I finished the master's, unless something changed my mind. But usually I have my mind pretty made up. I didn't know where I was going to go. I kind of assumed I'd go back to Ireland or Norway. I have, like, different places I'd love to live.
What was your master's in? Because people would probably figure it out by now, but go on.
Yeah, well, it's in technically geography, but I was doing, my thesis was on deep sea biology.
Yeah. So Newfoundland was a great place for us.
Oh, it was brilliant. Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah.
And similarly, I loved living on the East Coast, and I wanted to live in a slightly bigger city that was a bit different, but that I wasn't going to have to make another huge adjustment for, you know what I mean? Because
yeah.
I was still kind of fresh. I felt like I was still fresh into Canada. And people kept saying, you know, Halifax is like, it's just like St. John's, but it's bigger. That's what
everyone says.
Yeah.
That. Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? That sounds grand. I think I can handle that. So, and it was going to be easy to move there. And I don't think I'd done that much research about it, but I knew it was, you know, port city, a big harbor, that screams marine jobs, you know, in my mind. So I thought I'd probably have a better chance of getting a job that wasn't for the government or for MUN, because I was working for MUN on and off. And I also had gotten a few different contracts with DFO, the Department of Fisheries. And I didn't necessarily want to work for either of them. I wanted, like, to kind of figure out something different. I knew that I wanted to work research adjacent and as a field technician. So working in the field, because what my master's told me was that I hate coding. Analysis makes my brain melt. I can't do it. Or at least I don't enjoy doing it. I can do it. But so I moved to Halifax. And I didn't actually get a job there until this time last year. I was working on and off for DFO back in Newfoundland, research assistant jobs, these kind of things. And then I finally landed my job that I've been in now for a year as a field technician. at Dalhousie. So research adjacent. So fantastic. I'm very happy. Yeah. And as soon as I moved there, I met amazing people like straight away. And people kept telling me, you're in the right place for that kind of job. You'll find something eventually. You just have to graft a bit. And yeah, I got there.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Halifax, and secretly have this idea that I'd like to live somewhere like Halifax, because I think it's closer to what I'm used to in Ireland.
Yeah.
But you're doing it and you really love it, and this is kind of obviously a different episode. This is like more like Irish in Halifax kind of episode.
Yeah.
or Irish in the East Coast, at least.
Yeah.
What's it like being Irish in a city like Halifax?
I really like it. I get, I don't know if you find this in Toronto, but I get, sometimes I'll introduce myself to someone and I kind of love when they don't clock me straight away, don't clock my accent, or they choose to ignore it.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about it. It's like, it's kind of exhausting sometimes, introducing yourself to someone, the first thing being you have to explain where you're from, and they're like, you know.
It's enjoyable at the start.
It is enjoyable at the start, but it really starts to fucking wear, it wears you down a bit. Because every time someone's really excited to meet you, you almost have to be equally as excited that they're excited to meet you. You know what I mean? Like, and it's kind of exhausting. I've talked to my friends about this. I said to people, like, I love when people don't mention that they know I'm Irish. Then we end up talking about something else. Yeah. There's just so many times you tell your story, you get a bit bored.
Yeah. Sorry, you're right. I've had mixed bag in Toronto. Toronto is so, Canada in general is so diverse, but Toronto is so diverse.
It's more multicultural, yeah.
Yeah, and it's almost, people don't ask it out of respect almost. Whereas and it's not in case you might annoy the person, it's just, I don't want to look at you as being not Canadian.
Yeah.
You know, you're here, and that's the most important thing. Particularly if it's a formal event or a work thing or something like that. It depends, but
they'll wait till you bring it up.
Maybe, yeah, yeah. Are you, John? Exactly. The second I say I'm Irish, and I kind of go, in case you haven't noticed, and they start laughing.
They have
noticed, obviously. Yeah. You know, but or else they're at least figuring out what you are or where you're from or whatever. But yeah, you're right. It's funny though, because for other people and for me at certain times, it's like, I want you to know I'm Irish and I want you to ask me questions. Whereas you, again, it's just a little bit different to most people who are on this podcast.
Yeah. No, but there is times where I think it almost depends on my like mood of the day. There are times where I love it. I love being Irish. And that's the thing. I adore it to the point where, even if I were to live in Canada for another 10 years, I don't think I could ever get Canadian citizenship, because I have this, it would feel like a weird battle against my Irish identity. Like, I could never call myself an Irish Canadian or Canadian Irish.
Even though you're allowed to have both passports.
Yeah, I just don't know how I'd feel about that. So it's kind of like,
I'm literally waiting on my citizenship ceremony right now.
Well, that's brilliant. But it's the same, like, but I think it's also, I don't know, I just, yeah, I think it's a weird battle I have about identity. But I think I just get tired of having the same conversation. But it's great, but it's also a huge privilege. People immediately like me. Sometimes I think to the point where they decide they like me before they know me. They find me really interesting and exciting.
Exotic.
In a way, yeah. And sometimes it annoys me, I think, because I'm like, well, I gotta get to know me. Not just that I'm Irish. Just because I'm Irish doesn't mean I'm going to be, you know, your favourite person in the world. I could be an asshole. I probably am an asshole. Yeah. But it is interesting, and it kind of, it depends on the day, honestly.
Yeah.
I just like when people don't acknowledge it and we can talk about other things. Because I just find there's lots of other interesting things to talk about as well.
What do you like to talk about?
What do I like to talk about?
Do you like to talk about work? Because you're very passionate about it.
Yeah, I do. I love talking about work.
Is the tattoo on your forearm there, is that related to work?
No, it's not. Actually, it is...
Is that the tattoo you got today?
I got it yesterday.
Oh, yesterday.
It accidentally looks like waves.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah. Well, my eye isn't fantastic, obviously.
No, but it does. But the thing is, it was another design. It was in black. And I just love the swirls. I really love... abstract kind of art, swirly wobbly things.
We'll have to take a picture of it and put it up for people, because they're not.
Yeah, I'm able to see it. But then I really wanted a tattoo in blue ink.
Fair enough.
And it could have been any tattoo that I got in blue ink. My next one was going to be in blue ink, and it just happens that it's this one that looks like waves, and it's kind of funny, but that's not necessarily what it means. But I showed my sister, and she pointed out that with my other tattoos, I'm starting to do all the elements, because it's water, fire, and then this is air, because it's like wind, so I have to get an earth one next.
Excellent.
Yeah.
But you would be, so like, you know, I come from a very kind of conventional, like, you know, GAA, that background, and then you do, you know, if I was in secondary school, I'd, you know, view you as the, like, the hippie, like,
yeah.
Do you identify with that kind of...
Funnily enough, in school, no, I would have been, I was sporty, very sporty in school. I was on a lot of different sports teams. I was on the hockey team for a long time, even in university as well, as on the hockey team. So I actually would have been, me and my group of friends were like the sporty group of girls, I suppose. But I think I kind of came into my own a bit in university. I became more, maybe you'd say, hippie-ish, earthy. But that comes from my family. They're all like that. If anything, all the women in my family. Anyway, my brother's a bit of he's the guy head. He got his job as a quantity surveyor. He moved to Australia. No, he kind of almost filed into that. And I think me and my sisters and my mum are kind of a bit different like that. But I reckon he'll come back around. He'll have his hippie days.
Yeah.
He started wearing Birkenstocks and I called him out. But yeah, I think in university, I think I came back around to that. It was always where I was. I'm still like sporty and really outdoorsy. I think that's where it kind of comes into like a crossover, is like being really outdoorsy. Being like very active, but fucking love being outside. And that's why I love
you. Do love being outside.
Oh yeah.
When we, I'll have explained again in the introduction that we know each other from a hiking trip in Cape Breton.
Yeah.
That was the most. Since that trip, and it's kind of sad actually. I now every day, kind of sadly, I'm very aware of how many hours I spend outdoors.
Yeah.
And it's, I used to think, you know, I exercise and I walk to work and
yeah.
So I spend a lot. But then when you actually measure it, even if I go for a 2 hour run. I'm not, like, I might spend another 2 hours,
mm-hmm.
maybe three maximum, actually outdoors.
Yeah.
In a good day in the summertime.
Yeah.
That's 5 hours out of the 16 hours I was awake.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's scary, isn't it?
It is. Well,
my point is that when I met you in Cape Breton, you had actually cycled.
Yeah.
Already before our hiking trip, you had biked the whole thing.
Yeah.
On your own.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. And it was something, I've been really into biking the last few years and, bike packing, you call it. So you strap all your stuff to the bike and you camp on your bike.
I was fascinated by it.
Yeah. And I had been working in Bedeque, which is a town in Cape Breton. That was on the other side of where we were. But, and so I'd been working outside basically for 2 weeks on the boat. Outside every day, the whole day. It's when I feel my best. It's working outside on the boat. And I knew that Alex, my friend, had organized a camping trip. And it was going to be probably just when I was finishing work. And in my head, I was like, right, well, how can I be... I need to be independent so that I can get myself to this camping trip without the help from my coworkers, because they're not going to want to drive me to...
How far was Bedeque from where we were camping?
A drive? I think it was an hour drive.
So it's probably over 100 kilometers then.
Oh, I don't know if it was that far. I did it over two... Yeah, it was actually about 100 kilometers. I did it over 2 days. Yeah. But, yeah, so I didn't want to have to ask my coworkers to drop me somewhere, and I didn't want to have to coordinate with Alex, I just didn't want to put, I hate putting people out of their way for me. I prefer just to be able to get there on my own terms, on my own time. And I'd done lots of bike packing previously, but I hadn't done one on my own yet. So I was like, this is the perfect distance. Someone's on either end, perfect distance to do it by myself. So the only thing I was worried about was getting my bike, because we were going up in the work truck up to Cape Breton to do this work for 2 weeks. I was like, okay, I got to get my bike into the truck. So I have to tell my coworker, hey, do you mind if I put my bike in the back of the truck? It's in the back of the truck with a load of anchors. So I tied down the bike in the truck, brought it up to the to work, did 2 weeks of work. Oh, my coworkers thought I was mad, because then we finished the work and they left me there with my bags and my bike. And I headed off and I did the trip, and then I ran into you guys. It was great. I had all my stuff for camping,
It was great. Yeah, it was. You did drive back, to be fair. Someone gave you this back.
Yeah, I had to organize the bike rack to be on the car for the way back.
Yeah.
That was, yeah. Yeah, because you could bike back, but it would take probably a week to do it comfortably.
Yeah, it was a 5-hour drive, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, you'd want a week.
It's no joke, like.
No.
it opened my mind, though, like, because I've done camping trips, but usually one night, two night max.
Mm.
to do, which I've loved, but this was, I think it was only 5 nights, like it wasn't, but it, for me it was a big deal. I'd never done something that long, and like great way to see the place. But it wasn't your, you know, like the weather was nice, but it did rain regularly, and it probably rained every day while we were there.
Yeah.
And I, similar to you, not wanting to put, this is going to make me sound disgusting though, but I didn't want to, I brought like a carry-on suitcase to that, so I couldn't bring any liquids. And then when I left Alex's apartment, I obviously didn't have any shampoo or shower gel or anything, and I just didn't want to ask anybody, and I could have just bought them. And I was like, oh, what, 5 days, it's fine, whatever. By the end of that trip, I just felt and probably was just, you know, not good, like, because you get used to your home comfort.
I know,
but
then the shower you have after 5 days and is like the best shower ever.
Yeah,
which we're all in the same boat. I've been wearing the same runners for five days.
Yeah,
I was stinking.
Yeah,
and I was in the car with the other Alex, and I was like, oh, "Fuck, he doesn't care.
Yeah,
it's fine."
Exactly. Yeah, I was happy enough to get back to Halifax at the end of that trip, but would I do it again? Yeah, definitely. I'd just be a little bit better prepared, probably.
Yeah, and that's it. You don't know till you've done it wrong. Like,
yeah, I also slept in the car one night, which wasn't a fantastic experience. But yeah, does being in Halifax or on the East Coast, St. John's included, lend itself to that kind of, I suppose, identity? I know you said you're struggling with your identity, but does it lend itself to you maybe going through this hippie identity or this, whatever identity you're going through at the moment, rather than living in Toronto or in Dublin, for example?
It does.
Yeah.
Because I think it's because of my work, but also even if I wasn't working like on boats all the time and at sea, I need to be near essentially a port or a wharf or whatever. I really need to live beside the ocean. Like, it's absolutely non-negotiable. People will laugh at me, but I'm like, I'm not even being funny. I feel weird when I'm away from the ocean. Like, I feel really weird. But I grew up in Wicklow on the East Coast. Yeah. You know, you grew up on the coast. And I've always lived beside the ocean. I could never not. And obviously the East Coast, there's a lot of it. And people, I think, I mean, they say this about, I've heard Canadians talk about this, how like, coastal people have different attitudes to life in a way, like kind of take it as it comes a little bit more. Shit hits the fan, the weather's crazy, and I just love all that.
Yeah.
I think it's it's just where I thrive. I thrive in terrible weather. I thrive in unpredictable situations where you have to like kind of make do what you have in what situation. I love that kind of stuff. And the East Coast makes a lot of sense for that. And there's a lot to do outside as well. Like, it's really accessible. Like, I have a friend that I'm visiting here. She's from St. John's. She used to live in Halifax. That's where we met. And she says the biggest thing she misses is that it's so accessible, the outdoors. It's so accessible on the East Coast.
Oh, I remember, again, the week before. No, actually, it was a different trip to Halifax. We just did a hike. And, like, we're not climbing up, you know, Mount Everest strengthen. But it was just when we got in the car and we were at the hiking spot, I was like, this is ridiculous. Because Toronto's very accessible, public transport is fantastic, but to get somewhere like that, and also positive about Toronto, like, it is a good place to cycle and run. There are trails, it's organised very well.
That way, yeah.
It's structured. If you're into architecture, it's fantastic. But to be in nature, obviously it's quite difficult. It's a large city. It's very difficult, actually, I would say. Like, we're looking in the summer, renting cars and stuff, and we do it, and it's fine, but it's just a bit of a hassle, and it's new, so that it takes a long time. Whereas Halifax, just that weekend opened my eyes to, and even the whole year in St. John's, like St. John's especially, because the hiking is outrageous in St. John's.
It's absolutely insane. It's a hidden gem, like, and it's one thing that I miss. I miss a lot of things about St. John's and in many ways, but the hiking is so phenomenal. Like, I'm actually disappointed all the time with hiking in Nova Scotia. I try not to be. I try to be like a positive, like, come on, we'll do it. Like, you can hear cars and you can't see fuck all, but we'll go and do it anyway, you know. Whereas you go and you drive 20 minutes outside of St. John's and you're hiking the most outstandingly gorgeous cliffside hikes with sea stacks, and like, and it's challenging, and like, you're going through the forest and you're back by the ocean. You almost fall into the ocean. Like, it's just, they're amazing. Yeah. The East Coast Trail is beyond.
Yeah. Yeah. I need to do more of it.
Mm.
You, the way you talked, all the things you said about Halifax, like, I could say, well, they're all true about Vancouver. So what makes you so attracted to the East Coast?
I've never been to Vancouver. I'm going to be going to the West Coast in October, and I'm actually a bit worried.
That you might like it.
I'm very worried that I might like it.
You'll definitely like it.
I know, but I'm worried that I'll get notions of moving there.
Yeah.
We'll see. I'm going to be going there for work, but I'm also going to tack on a week or so beforehand, I think, to visit.
When are you going, did you say?
October.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
I'm going in August.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, I'm worried that it's probably going to get its claws in a bit, because people kept saying that to me. They're like, if you go over there, you're going to love it.
Yeah.
The point where you want to move. But I don't know. I don't think I could be that far away from home.
I thought you were going to say that, yeah. I know, like, Halifax isn't always a direct flight, but is there something in the mindset of being... Because even when I was in St. John's, even though I knew that I'd have to fly to Toronto to fly back to Ireland if I wanted to go back, I actually never ended up flying back to Ireland. But the fact that I knew I was quite geographically close, it's almost like, this might be a strange analogy, but if I'm ever feeling like sick or injured and I'm going on a run, I kind of stay intentionally close to my apartment to know that if anything does go bad, I'm always close. So I might just do a loop like around that I'm always within 2K.
Yeah.
And it, even though I probably have done the same distance anyway, even if I hadn't gone further, it settles me. I don't know if that's...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think... Yeah, and not even if, like, I had to... Well, that too, if I had to get back to Ireland, like, you know, at a moment's notice, it would be a lot easier. But even just wanting to go back for planned things, like, you know, getting to the point where people, friends, family might start getting married, or I just want to go back and spend more time. I think the longer I've been away...
Yeah.
The more I do want to go back and spend time, because you start to see how long you've been gone for and how much has changed. I mean, you go back, I feel a bit alien when I go back sometimes. I don't know if you find that, like...
Yeah.
It's weird. And I've heard other people talk about this, even from, like, from other countries, but it's weird how, like, when you go back, you feel less Irish. But then when you leave and come here, you feel more Irish than you did before. I don't know. It's this weird, like...
I 100%
it seems to go up and down. I always have a crazy identity crisis when I'm on the plane back to Dublin.
Okay.
I'm on the plane, I'm going, they're all going to think I'm like, not, you know, it's that negative self-talk. They're going to think that I sound weird, my accent is gone, I'm going to say things that are silly, I'm going to be too nice to the waitress. You know what I mean? I'm gonna do all these things that are very North American, and I don't want to be like that. And so I'd be on the plane, like, almost going through my head, like, reminding myself to say, I can't even think of an example, but yeah, reminding myself not to, like, try to start a conversation with the barista, to just say, how are you? Can I have an Americano?
But even saying how are you, as opposed to
how are you?
Obviously, the linguistic thing, like, linguistic thing will always. Whether it's your accent or... I give an example. Claire would hate me saying this example, but she came to visit. So I'd been home for maybe about 2 weeks in April. Like, I was home in Clare.
Mm.
And so I'd gotten used... Been back used to living at home. I was staying with my parents for a few weeks. And Claire, my partner, came from Kerry to see me. And she got out of the car and I went out to help her with stuff.
Yeah.
But she went to give me a hug. A hug now. And, like, I lost the plot. Like, I was like, could you... Because I live in a housing estate. I was like, you realize people are going to be looking at us, you know, the housing estate. Like, why are you hugging me? And she was like, are you fucking serious? Like, I just... Even though in Toronto, I'd never think about it because we're anonymous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I didn't want... It's funny, like, the way you say it out loud. I don't want my neighbours to know that we hug.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's such a small thing, but that's probably more of an internal thing
But I know what you mean.
Yeah.
There's a fear of being judged. And yeah, I felt there was a good example. I went into a pub with my mum. I think it was the day I flew in. Usually I go and I get to my mum's place and it's always I try to stay awake to a normal hour before going to sleep. So I'm not jet lagged.
Yeah.
It's not a big difference, but if you nap at the weird time, then you're afraid for 3 days. So usually we'll go out, like, run some errands or whatever. And we were in, Carrick-on-Shire, which is near where my mum lives in Waterford, and she was like, oh, this is a really nice pub, we go in here. She was like, do you want to get a pint of Guinness? And I was like, oh, don't you love that? And we went in and we went up to the bar, and I just felt nervous. I felt nervous about talking to the barman because I was like, he's gonna know that I don't live here, especially being in Waterford. I think it was a double whammy because we're from Wicklow.
Yeah.
We don't even have strong Wicklow accents, me and my mum. Like, we sound almost Dublin. Kind of, you know, we sound like we're North Wicklow. So we stick out anyway, probably, even though you wouldn't even think about that. But because I'm so aware of my accent anyway, when I went in there, I was like, he's going to know that I'm not, that I don't live here. And even though, like, it doesn't matter, but I was, like, worried he was going to look at me funny. So when I ordered, I kind of, like, I spoke, like, really low and, like, with my head down, I wouldn't look him in the eye. I was like, yeah, a pint of Guinness and a 7-Up, please. And he was like, yeah, okay. And, like, didn't give, like, didn't even look at me twice. But I was like, oh, God. I was like, Mom, do I sound like I live in Canada? And she was like, what are you talking about?
I've had that experience so often. Even when I go back to the shop down the road, and it's like main character vibes. Like, I think everyone in the shop is talking.
That's what it is.
Yeah. And they're not, like,
they don't give a shit.
Yeah, they don't care. Their life has been totally the exact same without you. Like,
yeah, so, exactly. Yeah.
Even your best friends, sadly, probably. Do you have you found that with your friends since
Yeah, I have a bit. I mean, I have friends from school that are, they're still my best friends. When I see them, it's like I saw them yesterday, you know. And yeah, their lives have moved on, but I'm usually quite good at keeping in touch with people, especially those close to me. So I generally know, I don't feel like I'm catching up on 3 years. I feel like I'm like, oh, I haven't talked to you in like 2 months. What's going on with that? Have you figured out this part of your life or whatever? So I don't feel that way. But there's other people from school that maybe I don't talk to as much. And when I see them, yeah, sometimes it's kind of like we're trying to reckon with how we've changed. And you're trying to catch up on basically someone's like personality growth, which is weird. Yeah. Not even just their
That's the best way I've ever heard it explained.
Yeah.
Because I've said this before, probably on the podcast, but like just when you meet someone or talk to them on the phone, if it's been 2 months, 3 months, you tend to start with facts.
Yeah.
Especially if you're not fantastic, like at social media does take the facts out of it. Like if you know someone got married or engaged or had a baby or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
But if you don't know that, they have to fit you in. So then you end up talking about facts for a long time and not actually finding out what's going on.
Yeah.
But then once you do go through that and then, to catch up with someone, but from what they're doing, but also then who they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's always the most interesting part. Like a lot of my friends that I would have gone to school with and things like that, I do. Yeah. I sometimes know, like sometimes I don't even know what the country they're in, but if they're in Ireland, I know they're in Ireland. Yeah. Either they've moved back or they're visiting. Yeah. Especially over Christmas is always weird because people come back to visit. But yeah, I'm more interested in hearing about like, how do they feel about coming back to Ireland now? Or how do they feel about their career, I'm more into that, but it does take a while to get to that, and sometimes a couple pints as well, and then you get into it a bit more.
Yeah.
Which is always the fun part about going back home, but yeah.
I was jealous of, obviously doing this podcast, and like my position in the Irish community here is that like because I teach Irish language at the university, you get to go to gigs and events where that's you're kind of representing that part, the academic life of things, and the Gaeilge, the Irish language part of it, which I love, but because there's so many Irish people here, I'm with Irish people all the time. Very hard to lose your accent. Like I would say it's actually difficult for me to lose my accent, even though it might have changed a little bit, but when I have visited you guys in Halifax and from my own time in St. John's, part of me did like the fact that like I thought I was kind of cool and exotic like that.
Yeah.
You know, our mutual friend initially was Axel, who's French.
Yeah.
Alex is our other mutual friend who's from Newfoundland.
Mm.
We don't know anybody else who's Irish at all, the two of us.
Yeah.
When we went on that camping trip, we had Newfoundlander, girl from Nova Scotia, guy from Quebec.
Yeah.
Me and you.
Yeah, I know. It's a funny bunch.
Yeah. And when I go to Newfoundland, my friends are generally American, Canadian, or French, or German. There's kind of it. So anyway, my point is that it's ironic because Toronto is, there's way more chances of meeting someone who's from a different place here. But because there's also so many Irish people here, I tend
to congregate. Yeah. I know it is. Yeah. It's something I was very aware of because obviously so many people move from Ireland and a lot of them go to Canada and Australia.
Yeah.
They're like the two big ones, right? And I remember thinking, not that I want to go off the beaten path, but I kind of do. Like I didn't really want to go wherever now. I didn't had no interest in going to Australia. And I had no interest in going to places where I knew people. I just didn't want to. But yeah, I don't know where I was going with that.
Well, I suppose you're saying I wanted to go to, I didn't want to go to Australia. Canada appealed to me, but Toronto and Vancouver didn't essentially.
Yeah, like that's the thing. I never actually, before I heard about my master's program, I didn't ever think I would move to Canada. It was never on my list. I maybe saw myself moving to like North Portugal or Scandinavia, like Norway or somewhere. Yeah. Somewhere that I knew I would like, but I knew I wouldn't know anyone.
Yeah. I love that. You don't want to know anyone. But then you're good at making friends, like you're a social person.
Yeah, that's the other side. I make friends pretty quickly. And I like having a network around me. But I think I love having a network that I've built, not one that was already there.
Yeah.
I like knowing that I've built my network in a way and I've like made it my own. And like everyone who's in my network, I really appreciate and I love them for the hour they're there. Like my friends here, especially, I have some really good friends back in St. John's. I had a good network there, but it was a bit different because of COVID. It was kind of kept things a bit smaller. But when I moved to Halifax, it was like immediately I met so many amazing people.
You even like just listened to you talk. I was a little bit jealous because you just seemed there was a lot of camaraderie, like in the traditional sense of like helping each other out. And that's here as well in Toronto. I do have that, but it's not as accessible, like because of the scope, the size of the city, and the living on the 30th floor of buildings and having to access that type of thing.
Seriously, though, and even people being in different areas, like whereas in Halifax you're all kind of in one area, and I'm pretty sure it's an East Coast thing like you have people over, everyone looks after each other, you have potlucks, dinners. Like I had the night before I came here, two of my closest friends in Halifax who I used to live with, and they came over for dinner, and they're just like two absolutely gorgeous people, and I know I can just have them over, and it's a really low-key dinner, but we just make food together, one of them takes over my kitchen, we all clean up, like it's just, it's really, really nice. And I have, just my network there is so supportive, and like, I don't know what I'd do without any of them. Like even, Alex is like picking me up from the airport. I was like, yeah, can you pick me up? And he's like, of course I can. And like, I'll pick him up from the airport during the summer or something. And like, but I have multiple people that I know I could reach out to, and they would go out of their way to help me. And it's, I don't know how I'd go off without them. They're all brilliant.
Is it as, shout out to Alex.
Yeah.
Is it, he'd be delighted with
he'd
that.
He'd love that, yeah.
Is it as similar to Ireland as people make it out to be, Halifax, St. John's? Like you've been in the two of them.
Yeah.
You've lived in the two of them for long spells. Is it as similar as people make out to be?
Yeah, I think it is and it isn't. I've had so many people ask me that. And it's funny because I had no idea how to answer it, because technically I've never lived anywhere else in Canada or even in the world.
Yeah.
They're the only places I've lived. So it's hard to say either way when I have nothing to compare it to. But I do think I've garnered like enough stories and things about other places in Canada. I think that that the East Coast does. Yeah, I just think it feels more homey and doesn't feel as different. And the people are very like, what's funny is I don't even have, a lot of my friends aren't even necessarily from the East Coast.
Yeah.
A lot of my friends are French, and a lot of my friends are, or Francophone. There's a lot of Quebecois people around as well. And also a lot of Ontarians, because they move over because they don't know what they're doing here.
But
they move to the East Coast because I think they want that kind of lifestyle. So they uphold, like, somewhat, yeah.
I spent a year, like, Western United States, like in Montana, like, not in Canada, but I found the same vibe. You've a lot of people there. Some are born and bred, but everyone who's there is either born there, so they have that personality, or they're looking, like Montana's full of people from California who are looking to escape California because they want whatever Montana offers. And I think BC is full of a lot of people like that as well. So
But I have heard that, like, BC, I mean, I can't say next time I've been yet, but I've heard that BC is very, really outdoorsy, and people are like kind of hardcore outdoorsy, which to me appeals to me.
Yeah.
But then I've also heard that people are not as like homey and friendly and like kind of, I'll say, like, community orientated.
Yeah.
And I do wonder if that is like a product of the East Coast, or if it's also a product of like who I like to surround myself with. Tend to be people who are like not just friends to go for a drink, it's your friend who is like part of your circle, your network, who like support each other in their day-to-day life and like care about each other in more than just going for a drink. It's like, I don't know, they'll come and help you put up your bike hanger in your living room. That's the kind of friend I mean.
We're going to start winding down now, but I'm curious as to your relationship with Ireland now. What's it like? Do you ever intend or see yourself going back? Do you even think that far into the future?
I do. It's kind of a vague, like, I'm I can't see the future, but I'm pretty sure I will eventually go back to Ireland. I can't say when. I have a feeling, but I don't know, that I'll move to Norway or somewhere like that for a while. I basically don't think Ireland will be my next move. But I do think I only have one more new move in me, if that makes sense. One new fresh start.
Yeah. That's...
And I don't think it'll be within Canada. And these are all like, I tend to plan. I usually have like 3 or 5 year plans in my head all the time of what I'm going to be doing. Those can change, but they're usually based on what I want out of my life, where I want to work, where I think I would like living, and like the lifestyle that I want there. And right now, Halifax is brilliant. Like, I really enjoy my job there. I can see myself being there for a few years, purely because I also want to just stay at a job for a while. I haven't ever done that because I've been in and out of university. Yeah, and I feel like I will eventually go back. I have a bit of a theory that I'll go back in my late 30s, 40s, and I'll buy an old building, and I'll run a B&B with one of my best friends, Katie, who's a chef. And I'm going to run the B&B, and we're going to have a garden, and it's going to be by the sea, and she will do all the cooking, and I'll do all the logistics.
Okay.
That's the long-term plan. Yeah. And she's well aware of that too. She's on board.
Okay, so. Good. I was going to ask. Is she?
Oh, yeah. We were talking about it the other day.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. I feel like I'm doing a psychological or a social experiment by asking people when they come in, like, what do you think you'll do in the future about coming back to Ireland? And then maybe in 5 years' time, showing them their answers and seeing where they are.
Yeah, I would love that.
Yeah, because, you know, there's always that, you know, thing. Do you think you'll change in the next 10 years? No. Have you changed in the last 10 years? A lot.
Yeah.
So, like, you will change a lot, so.
Yeah, no, I can say I will. I mean, things could change that. Like, there might be something that keeps me in Canada for a lot longer. But, yeah, I'm kind of at a period where I feel like my life could go one of many ways. And that I used to find that quite scary.
I was
going to
ask you, does it give you any anxiety?
That would have, I think, a few years ago. But now I think I'm at a place where I really am enjoying where my career is going. And I also feel very settled in who I am. I don't feel kind of like I'm still figuring myself out. Yeah. I know I will still continue to figure myself out. But I think I feel very secure in who I am, what I want, and what kind of life I like to live. So I think whatever place I end up living that, I think it's going to,
yeah,
work. It should work out for me.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I should leave it there, but I want to ask one more question.
Okay.
And I want to put it in if I don't want that. Does it annoy you sometimes the way people... So, like, I do genuinely love living in Toronto, but it does annoy me the way people talk about Toronto, as in it's got everything. This generic face. Sure, there's everything to do here.
Yeah, yeah.
Which translates as there's bars and restaurants to go eat and drink in. And a lot of them. Also, there are, like, events that you can entertain yourself passively that cost a fortune to go to. That's what that translates as.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that neither of those things are bad things. But, like, there's also a lot of things that it doesn't have. But the way people say, sure, everything is here versus Halifax, where, what would you do there?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Does that kind of narrative annoy you? Or do you even experience that narrative?
I do a bit, but I find I don't tend to spend that much time with people who don't appreciate the loveliness of a small city that's near the ocean.
Yeah.
I tend to, like, I have people in my life who, like, live in different parts of Canada, but most of them, I know them through the East Coast.
Yeah.
So they all appreciate that. And most of them pine after it still. So
yeah.
They talk to me and they're like, oh God, I wish I still lived there. So not
that's
really.
True.
Yeah. And I tend to get on better with people who enjoy that. Like, I think someone who is a city slicker, I could of course be friends with them, but we have a very different worldview.
When you were talking about the sneakers, we were in Banff 2 summers ago, and it was the summertime, like,
yeah,
but we were like on a hiking trip, but we went into Banff, into the town, for dinner, like, and so we, you know, I put on, like, kind of like my nicest t-shirt and my nicest shorts that aren't like sports shorts, and like a pair of, like, brand new white, like, bright white. They look like sneakers, but you would never wear them, like, walking or hiking. They're to look nice in the city when it's dry.
Yeah.
And I felt like a fucking clown. I felt like that because everyone was wearing the clothes they wore hiking that day.
Yeah.
Or at least a cleaner but exact same replica set of the hiking clothes, which is what I would normally do.
Yeah.
But I want it to look nice, and I which.
But yeah. It's nice to look nice. For example, I'm going to the show tonight. I'm wearing cowboy boots and a leather jacket. That's I would never wear those around Halifax.
Would you not?
No, this is my city slicker outfit.
Ah. Yeah. Okay. I didn't realize that when you walked in here.
It is. But then I have my fucking my down jacket underneath yeah. it, and then I have jeans on. You know, I can't totally get away from it, but yeah, I know what you mean. You just have to wear whatever you want to wear.
True.
And not think about what other people are thinking. Because I've been walking around today in my cowboy boots, and sometimes I have that the same inner monologue, yeah. like, oh god, people think I look like him. I'm like, who no, cares? No, if anything, they look at your boots and they're like, fucking cool boots.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Okay, yeah. Perfect. We'll leave it there.
Yeah, great.
Thank you. Really hope you enjoyed that chat with Poppy. She couldn't have been more honest, and I look forward to spending more time with her again the next time I'm on the beautiful East Coast. Once again, all feedback is welcome. You can email me. My email address is in the description of the podcast, or you can find me on social media. It's always lovely getting messages from strangers and talking about the podcast and their stories of what brought them to Toronto. I would still encourage people to download the episodes and to share them with friends and family. Downloads are the easiest indicator for me to gauge how many people I'm reaching with these conversations, so I would really appreciate it. Thanks to Natalie Barbuzzi, who provided the logo for the podcast, and thanks to Shannon Heaton, who provided the music you are now listening to. You'll find all of her music on Spotify. There'll be another episode of Irish in Toronto in 2 weeks, and until then, it's long before.